How cheap side tables and Swedish meatballs helped IKEA stay above the European debt crisis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. We start in Europe, where it looks like Greece is getting closer to a deal with its lenders to keep the country out of a messy default. But the broader European debt crisis has taken its toll on some companies, General Electric for one. The sixth largest U.S. company says earnings fell at the end of last year because of weaker European demand. And yet, Swedish furniture maker IKEA has been unscathed by the downturn. In fact, it had a record year, selling $4 billion of DIY tables and beds. Christopher Worth explains how.
Many of us have at least a few things at home that are made by IKEA. I called Matthew Steich, an analyst at the retail consulting firm Planet Retail. He says he does too.
It was pretty much all I could afford.
And he says that's why IKEA is doing so well. When money's tight, people look for bargains. During the global downturn and continuing through the European crisis, IKEA has actually lowered prices, despite the fact that the cost of wood and other raw materials keeps rising. And Steich says IKEA is becoming even more of a global enterprise.
Part of the growth that we're seeing is coming from emerging markets. So last year it opened numerous stores in Russia, finally, and also in China as well.
And now IKEA is eyeing India. Last week, the country opened its markets to big foreign retailers. Add another billion bargain hunters to IKEA's list. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Another industry getting by all right? Tech. New companies are attracting more startup funds. A report out today finds venture capitalists are in a spending mood. Funding rose 19% in the last part of 2011. Joining us now to talk about what the spree means for the economy is Jill Schlesinger. She's editor-at-large for CBS Money Watch and joins us every Friday. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what does this new investment tell us about the economy?
Well, it says that deep-pocketed, sophisticated investors are feeling a little more optimistic about certain parts of the economy. When you look at the numbers, it's really directed at software, biotech, and clean energy companies, too. They're hoping that one of those bets becomes the next Facebook. But I really wouldn't go too crazy because, you know, these numbers of the investments, even though the percentages are big, the actual numbers are pretty small and a drop in the bucket when compared to the total size of the U.S. economy.
Now, could these investments pay off for us?
Well, yes, eventually. Remember that these kinds of investments are usually made with a 5 to 7 year time horizon. So we're not talking about a this year kind of impact on growth or even on jobs. Right now, it's much more important that the European debt crisis is resolved and the general global economic outlook improves. Those are the ingredients that are really going to boost confidence and hopefully get the recovery moving quicker. And down the line, those VC investments could add to it. But I wouldn't bet the farm on those investments either.
Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large for CBS Money Watch. Thanks.
Take care.
Now, let's do the numbers. U.S. markets are mixed today. The S&P is off just 0.2%. The Nasdaq is down about 0.1%. The Dow is up 56 points to 12,680. Well, we've got more signs of life in the housing market. Existing home sales rose last month to their highest rate in nearly a year. The National Association of Realtors says they increased 5% in December.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. By Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
Pull out those penny stamps. The cost of mailing a letter is going up again. For those of you who've lost count, dropping that thank you note in the mail will now cost you 45 cents. The steady drip, drip, drip of increases has us wondering, are stamps a good deal? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer went to find out.
So maybe you're thinking to yourself, man, 45 cents is a lot for a single stamp. But Postal Service spokesman Dave Partenheimer says think about what you're getting for your money.
Letter carrier can pick up your letter and deliver it across the country or Alaska, Hawaii, all for just the price of what will be 45 cents. That's pretty amazing when you think about it.
Of course, Partenheimer is paid to say things like that, so I decided to do a little street survey. Down the block from a post office in Washington, people generally thought first-class stamps were a bargain, even with the price hike.
I think stamps are a good deal.
It's still an incredible value.
To send your a piece of mail halfway across the country or all the way across the country for 45 cents, that seems reasonable to me.
That was Margaret Myers, Maurice Walters, and Adrian Coakley. To put their praise of stamp pricing in perspective, we compared it to a cup of joe. Here's Cornell economist Rick Geddes.
The price to mail a letter in 1974 was about the same as a cup of coffee. So it seems as though the coffee prices have run ahead of stamp prices over the years.
Yeah, just a little. When's the last time you got a venti caramel frappuccino for 45 cents? Getty says stamp prices have pretty much tracked inflation since the 70s. Actually, in 2006, Congress passed a law that says stamp prices can't rise faster than inflation. So yeah, stamps are a good deal. And who can resist a bargain-priced stamp, right? Well,
yeah, I can't remember the last time I used one, to be honest.
That was Adrian Coakley again. And yes, everyone else I talked to said they don't use stamps much either. Of course, stamps are only a bargain if you actually buy them. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, pity South Carolinians, at least until tomorrow when the primary election there wraps up. According to the AP, 25,000 presidential ads have run in the state. That's $12 million worth of vote for me's, and I approve this messages. The average TV viewer sees 6 pro-Romney ads a day. I kind of feel bad for the local car dealers and mattress sellers who are probably struggling to get an advertising word in edgewise. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrian Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It's the hottest accessory among the political elite this year, but you too can have your own personal super PAC. It's easy.
This is not rocket science. For most people, you want to have a super PAC, fine. You file a one-page letter.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Super Political Action Committees, a step-by-step how-to. Also, the news from Wall Street on the broadcast. That's next time for Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.